My presentation is more on actual hands doing of what we have done in space, use of space for development. So I will be sharing with you some of the experiences that we have had in India to use space for development. And having spent some 36 years in this particular field, I hope something useful in terms of experience sharing. And if that can be of some use in any of the projects, I think my trip would have been... Now, this the development, I think, has been defined. The goals have been mentioned. Okay, 17 goals, 169 detailed targets. Okay, these are the targets which she mentioned. All the 17 targets, no poverty, zero hunger, etc., etc. The question is, if we want to work towards these needs, these goals, what do we need really? You have to reach out to people. Just making some plans on this thing is not going to help. You have to provide information and training to the last man in the village. You have to provide services like health, education. You have to organize campaigns if you want vaccinations to be done. It has to be time-bound, closely monitored campaigns. Monitoring, providing field support. These are some of the things which are required if we want to achieve some of the targets and goals that she was mentioning. Now, how can space help us in these areas? I am coming to the specific thing. Space has two major areas of applications on which we have done a lot of work. One is communications. Communication, space has the possibility of reaching out to remote areas simultaneously, large number of areas, large number of terminals, and therefore reaching out to large numbers. It also provides you with the opportunity of going to them with a standard message. You know, if I do training and I train him and he trains him and he trains him, by the time the fifth person is trained, there is a tremendous loss in training. Satellite communication gives you direct access, and therefore there is no in-between loss of training. So satellite communication, it gives you reach, access to very large number of remote locations. Multiplier effect, if I have 50 classrooms and if I have 20 people in each classroom, I'm reaching out to 1,000 people. If I have more, and we have had many more number of classrooms and many more number of participants, simultaneously thousands of teachers, thousands of health workers can be trained and monitored. Okay? Distributing learning materials, interaction with them, conducting of training programs, women workers, I will come to some of the details later. All this can be done for all the areas of sustainable development goals that we have mentioned if we use space technology effectively for training and for reaching out to people. Okay, these trainings can be done as frequently as we can. See, normally if I want the people to travel from other areas and come for training, I can do it once in 6 months, once in 8 months, or maybe once a year. Here, the person doesn't have to come. He is where he is. The resource person is where he is. I can organize a training program every month. I can follow the progress every month, and I can do that. So the frequency of training program, the monitoring, etc., can be much more. I can distribute specific material. We will do this in the next 15 days. This is the material for doing that. Take this material, read it, ask questions, and then go in the field and do it. And after 15 days, come back and tell what are the difficulties you had in doing that. So it becomes a very specific tool. Space becomes a very specific tool to implement things in the field where large numbers are required. Feedback can be obtained from the field through two-way systems. You have nurses, can get doctor's advice, etc., etc. So communication can be an effective tool for training and doing campaigns. Campaigns, I'll come again later, mention to you. For example, polio campaign. Now you, polio vaccination, you have a fixed date, a week, when you will give polio vaccines to all the children in a particular area. So you send out field workers. In the evening, the field workers come on the network and give you feedback. We did this, we did this, this was the difficulty, this is here, can we do something? Next, immediately on the network, corrective action can be taken and people can be moved. And therefore, within a week, the effective monitoring of the campaign can be done. And this was done in several states in the country. The second strength of space is Earth observations. So you take pictures and you analyze the resources available. You take pictures continuously, so you know how fast you are exhausting the resources, how fast you are depleting them, and you can also prepare local action plans as to what to be done in land use management, water resources management, in a particular specific area. So this has been done, and of course the whole similarly in forestry, weather forecasting, I have not mentioned here, but in the presentation will come on fisheries. A very important project has been implemented very regularly. It will come during the presentation, and this was the main thing. India believed in space right in the beginning. It wanted to be self-sufficient, so it was developing technology and has developed all these things, built a large number of satellites, both communication and remote sensing. But the second important thing was that India was committed to the use of space for development of society. The founder of the space program said this: there are some who question the relevance of space activity in a developing nation. To us, there is no ambiguity of purpose. We are convinced that if we have to play a meaningful role nationally and in the Committee of Nations, we must be second to none in the applications of advanced technologies to the real problems of man and society. This was his conviction. Fortunately, this has also been the conviction of the political system in the country. Earlier, whether it was the first Prime Minister Nehru, starting Mrs. Gandhi, and the present Prime Minister, with Mr. Narendra Modi, all very much committed to the use of technology and the latest technology to further the process of development in the country. So the applications in communication were television, tele-education, and telemedicine. I will talk a little bit about these. In Earth observations, there is the National Resources Management System, National Natural Resources System, and the Disaster Management System. But what is the approach adopted by India? The approach adopted by India is that it undertakes experiments jointly with the user agency. So if it is a training experiment in health, the health department is involved. Then the space department does all the setting up of the network and all that. Training is done by the health department. Evaluation, as he mentioned, was done right from the beginning in several experiments, like having what it is a control group and experimental group. So the same group, you have one group which is exposed, another group which is not exposed, and then you evaluate the results at the end of the experiment. That kind of experimentation was done in education, in health, in agriculture, in several other fields to evaluate. And it has been found that the space systems have been very effective in communicating information and in improving the productivity of the people. So it has been established far beyond doubt. So we have done joint experimentations, but in the process, you start giving the technology to the user. Now, space has gone little beyond its normal thing. Space could have said, my job is to put the satellite. I'll put the satellite, let the user use it. Whether health wants to use, education wants to use, anybody else wants to use, it is their job, not my job. My job is to put the spacecraft there and create a space system. This was not done. Dr. Sarabhai was very clear right from the beginning, and he knew that the users would not be in a position to use the space system. And therefore, he took upon himself and upon the space agency to set up the complete network from end to end. That is what we call the end-to-end experiment, is from the source to the receiver. From the designing the message, sending it, decoding it, receiving it, and getting feedback, studying the impact. So the end-to-end approach, right from the beginning, and in the process, the users were involved, so the users started taking on to the technology. One of the initial examples was education. The very first experiment we did, let me see. This was the first experiment we did with SITE. This satellite is wrong, we borrowed it. It was in fact born in MIT. And we borrowed a satellite from US. And USAID, the lady who spoke, USAID was also involved in the evaluation of the experiment. And we put up reception systems terminals in 2,400 villages. I was personally responsible for selecting those 2,400 villages where TV sets were to be put. Okay, and then we put up the antennas, designed the studios, this thing. Got the programs were produced by the Education Ministry for Education and for the Broadcasting Ministry by the broadcasters. Now, when the Education Ministry found it useful, this was for primary education, the higher education people came. They said, no, we also want to use it for university education. So UGC came. The Indira Gandhi National Open University came, saying that we want to use it for open and distance learning systems. So we set up the ISRO helped in setting up space-based systems for all these. We designed and did the whole thing. And hold on. When ISRO was approached by UGC and by Indira Gandhi National Open University and others, and today I think the country has a very large educational system, space-based educational system, which is run by the educational institutes. It is the universities who are running it. It is the education department, not the broadcasting. The broadcasting department is not interested in education. So broadcasting department is politics and that kind of thing. So it is run by the education ministry. Similarly, we set up the training networks. Now the training networks was the next step because the technology became available. So we set up the studios, we had the receive terminal. You could either talk back through satellite or you can talk back through telephone, phone, fax, email, and have a completely interactive system. Now these training networks, as I mentioned to you, were very useful for teachers training, for health workers training, for forest workers training. Of all the things, we have local self-governance in India. Every village is supposed to have a panchayat. This panchayat is elected every 5 years. In many cases, it is the woman in the village who is supposed to be heading the panchayat. Now she doesn't even know what she has to do. So she has to be given training. To provide training to these people, the amount of funds available is unlimited. But there's just no means to reach out to so many people in such a short time. Therefore, the system were used to reach out to these people. Similarly, as I said, for health workers, for we have midwives in the villages, how to deliver a baby. So training, you do these small demonstrations with toys and those kinds of things on the screen, and you conduct the training programs. And these are used by Indira Gandhi Open University for teachers training, These are used by all health departments, and these are under the state government control, not the central government control, because all these subjects come under the state: education, health, forestry, etc., etc. So these networks we have established in a large number of states, and I think thousands of people have undergone training using these. And finally, in instructional TV, what happened was that IGNOU came, various others came, and the demand was so much that ISRO thought, let us have a dedicated satellite for education. And therefore, a special dedicated satellite called EduSat was designed and launched and made available to the education sector. And almost all universities set up networks using this particular satellite. Now, of course, they continue over a period of time. These are the kind of systems which were set up. So, starting with an experiment in primary, go to higher education, go to open and distance learning, and go to operational systems, like as you said, and now, of course, technology has moved further, and you have even offline systems which are becoming available. So there is a progressive technology transfer which takes place. So this is about the growth of educational TV. I will not go into this, otherwise I can spend days talking about it. But I will only say that yes, television broadcasting for rural development was one of the earlier objectives when we did the experiment. Now we have a huge influx of satellite television. We have a few hundred channels, but they are either political or commercial. Very little or almost nothing is left for development. So that, but that is a very unique area which I think we have missed. Some point of time, let us hope this will come. What has happened is the policy in radio has changed. Now more and more radios are stations are being made available to NGOs for doing development communication. The government has become very liberal to use radio for development. But television, there is a lot of restriction. Even the radio policy is not that well formulated, but at least the government's attitude towards radio has changed. Not so towards the local transmission like PEACH, which is very essential. We have a few hundred local stations which could be used for development, but which we have not used. But we have one of the richest experiences in using this. The other area in which we have used is telemedicine. This is using the space connectivity between urban hospitals and rural hospitals and rural areas. Now this too, we started in a small way. Actually, I only read about the availability of the software, and we demonstrated it to Narayan Hrudayalaya in Bangalore, where our headquarters was there. And this became a very critical thing, where you could connect the rural hospitals. Some of them have the infrastructure, but they don't have doctors. They don't have specialists. So you may have a CT scan machine, but there is no doctor who can interpret the CT scan and tell you what to do. You would go to an island like Andaman Nicobar Islands. Beautiful hospital is there. A man falls down from a motorcycle, has a head injury, he is in coma. The local doctor does not know what to do. He takes a CT scan, he does MRI, whatever has to be done. But he cannot decide. The only way is that either that fellow has to be flown to mainland at government cost, or he has to be kept there. But now with this kind of system, the doctor can show the CT scan, all the reports, to the doctor at the city who is a neurophysician, and he will say, don't worry, keep him there, give this treatment, and he will be okay within 3 days. So like that, a very large number of networks we have put all areas of Jammu and Kashmir, all districts of northeast region have been connected like this. So this is a large network, but another important thing is develop some mobile vans which will go to the rural areas. So the mobile van goes to the rural area, the doctor need not go. Well, only a technician goes. For example, this particular mobile van is an ophthalmological mobile van of Shankar Netralaya, which is an excellent ophthalmological hospital in Chennai, Madras. So the van goes with the technicians and the whole village lines up for a checkup, and the doctor sitting in Chennai conducts the test, and only if surgery is required, he is called. Otherwise, the treatment is given to the patient there itself. There are several such vans which are in working, and we have 200-300 hospitals. The same network is also used for continued medical education. One is education between hospitals. Good hospital teaching students and faculty in remote hospitals, as well as professional bodies. Like we had a FOGSI, Federation of Gynecologists of India. So they have meetings, regular seminars, conferences using these kind of networks. But it was found, again I must say, that it was the private hospitals and the NGOs which used this more. Government hospitals always found it a little burdensome to use this. Actually, there are many observations I can make on this. The government can use it in a very different way than what the private hospitals use it to catch the patient. So patient in the rural area, the private hospital provides telemedicine and tells him come over. So the patient from the rural area comes straight to that particular private hospital. In government hospitals, the hospitals are already overloaded. They don't want patients to come. So they can tell, please don't send him, keep him there, do this treatment. So it can be a completely reversal of use if you want to do this. This was a concept in which NGOs in the villages, in remote areas, are provided with a terminal which has communication as well as data. So they can use this communication terminal as well as their data for local development. We have about 400 such centers available. I think I've crossed my time. All I will say is that, okay, it is very effectively used for crop forecasting. The crop forecast of the country is made well in advance for several crops as to what would be the thing, with great improvement of accuracy and timeliness of crop estimate. And there is a national center which has been set up now by the Agriculture Ministry. It is not set up by SPACE. SPACE provided the inputs. Now they are using SPACE inputs, and the Agriculture Ministry is doing the crop forecasting. This is a unique thing which I think India has developed, which we need to, and which is very, to some extent, similar to what a friend from USAID was also explaining over the telephone. When remote sensing and earth observation data became available in a big way, how would users use it? So the Space Department went to the Planning Commission, which is the topmost planning body in the country, and told them that all departments at the state level, whether it is agriculture, soils, 8 groups were formed. They can use these, and if they want to use this, the Space Department will set up support centers for natural resources management. So we will give the data. We will also have scientists who will develop the algorithms and will help. But the State Department should also set up the state remote sensing centers. So the state remote sensing centers were set up by them. Regional remote sensing centers were set up by ISRO, and the two jointly worked to develop projects in these areas. The projects are developed, presented to the Planning Commission. Because these are jointly done, they are easily funded. And therefore, and at the end of the project, the evaluation report is submitted. This has made a great, I think sustainability has become possible because of this. The users are involved, the funders are involved, the technologists are involved. And all the three together are running the system. This is Mission for Sustainable Development. You make specific plans based on satellite maps, making recommendations for a watershed. Watershed may cover 4 villages, 5 villages, and the resource management for that. Where can you put a water dam to conserve water? What is the land use pattern? How do you need to change? This change has to be planned with the local people. There is no point in the white man from the west coming and telling what change is to be done. It has to be done with the local people. And then they jointly do it and implement it. This is what has been done. I just take a minute. Fishing zones. This is a regular operationalized system. Satellite imagery is used to study ocean temperature and chlorophyll availability, from which prediction is made where more fish will be available at a particular time. Sea surface temperatures, chlorophyll availability, these are studied, and regular information is sent to the fishing centers, that from your fishing center, let the fishermen go in so and so direction, up to so and so distance, and they will find fish. It was found that the catch more than doubled, the time required for bringing a haul reduced by 1/3, and the fishermen were very happy. This has been made into a regular system every day. The information is sent out to fishing centers, and it is distributed through press, TV, and evaluation indicates 4-fold increase in catch, and the search time is reduced significantly, resulting in great economic benefit. It is also used for avoiding overexploitation. You do not overexploit fishing in a particular zone. So you tell them, don't go there, go in a particular zone. Similarly, disaster management, cyclone management is one thing which I, from my personal experience, 1977, one cyclone in Andhra Pradesh killed 7,000 people. Same cyclone a few years ago, because of early warning and the necessary preparations, the death were hardly about 10. So that is the kind of difference that can make. But because of all this, there is a whole national disaster management system which has come up in the country because of this advanced information. Just giving information is not enough. You have to move people. You have to help them to move and all that. So this is the way India has used. It has created a lot of infrastructure to help. So regional remote sensing centers, Northeast Spatial Center, National Remote Sensing at Hyderabad, Disaster Management Center at Hyderabad, Space Application Center, and DECO. So all these, and joint working with user agencies, has made it possible to use space more effectively. I think still much more can be done, but I think at least some of the results that India has achieved have been good. Thank you very much. I know I have taken more time.